Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Well, good morning, Harvest Church. Well, it's a privilege and it's a joy to bring the Word of God once again this morning. How many listened to Pastor Paul's message last week? Yeah. Me two, me three. It was wonderful. And just speaking about, you know, cultural change. And I thought that was just so powerful. And isn't it just wonderful when God, you know, when the word is coming forth, you know, God just starts to speak to you again. It's almost like you're hearing it double on the inside, because when he says something that resonates with what God's already saying to you, you know, that just, you know, it kind of just like rings that bell, amen, in your heart. And, you know, God started doing that to me. And it's, you know, when we're speaking about culture, you know, we have our cultures in Harvest Church. You know, we have some church culture, amen. This is some good culture, amen. So we have an online culture, for example. What do? We like it and share it. Yeah, it's becoming part of our culture, because culture is one of those things that you just do, or, you know, or a habit, I should say, you know, that just comes automatically. But I want to speak this morning. I mean, we're going on a journey. Everyone say journey.
Journey.
You know, one of the things that I've purposed in my heart is that whenever I hear a message from this pulpit, you know, I'm going to ask myself, what is God saying to me personally? You know, so many times we can hear a word and you think, oh, you know, I wish so-and-so was here. They needed to have heard that. You know, but so often, you know, God's, you know, all the time, really, God is speaking to us. And, you know, I've purposed in my heart that every time I hear a word from the pulpit, I'm going to ask myself that question, what is God saying to me personally? What's the takeaway from this? You know, sometimes, you know, you go to a restaurant, you have a good meal, and you don't finish it all, and you say, actually, can you wrap that up for me, and I'll take it away? Or sometimes you just go in for a takeaway. You don't even sit down, you just say, I'm ordering a takeaway. And so I always say to God, Lord, what is the takeaway for me from this message? Amen? So how many want a takeaway today? Amen? Amen. Well, get ready. Praise God. And so, but God always has something. God is always speaking something specific to our hearts. So even if I can't remember the title, I know I must take something away. I must take away something, a point, you know, from that message, that I'm going to go away and become a doer of that word. Amen. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Hallelujah. And so the takeaway for me, or at least one of the takeaways for me from Pastor Paul's message, was on excellence. Yeah, how many heard that? You know, he spoke about being excellent. I know it was called cultural change, but something he said just like, you know, just made something come alive on the inside of him. And I wrote it down, and he said this. This is the point to me. He said, excellence isn't an act, it's a habit. Excellence is not an act, it's a habit. And I thought, wow, isn't that the truth? That is so true. It's not an act, it's a habit. And I wrote that down, and I said, Lord, wow, you know, and even as he was speaking, I began to chew on that, and God began to speak, you know, more and more things to me about that. Because, you know, a habit is one of those things that you can just do routine, that you practice over and over again, and it becomes a habit because it's reinforced by you actually doing it repeatedly. And so, often, you know, when God started speaking to me, he was saying that basically in my mind, you know, excellence is like, has become like a destination or a goal. You know, you want to become excellent at something. So it can be like a goal that is sort of out there that you are trying to achieve, that you're aspiring to get to. But he says, no, it's not. And that's like a destination. You know, the thing with athletes is that when they cross over the finish line, how many have seen them? They're running, if it's 100 meters, 500 meters, whatever it is, as soon as they cross the finish line, what happens? You're all collapsing, and they kind of collapse, and they even lie down on the floor on their backs, you know, looking up at the sky, and it's like, oh gosh, I've finished the race. And there's a celebration now because they've crossed the finish line, but that's the sense that they reach a destination, and often they can stop training, they can just lose their focus now because they've achieved that goal, they've achieved that milestone. But what God was saying to me, that, you know, it's not a destination. It's not somewhere that you get to and you say, I'm excellent now, so, you know, that says, you know, I've arrived. No, we haven't arrived because it's a journey. And, you know, the thing with habits, God had already started speaking to me about habits. You know, I mentioned about the book Atomic Habits by James Clear that I've now finished reading. I was reading it then when I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, but I've read it now and I'm still reading it again. That's how good it is. You know, I have a little secret. You know, it's called Audible. And there you go. Everyone said, there you go. You can read books quick. Quick. Yeah, but it's good. And it feeds that reading habit, you know, that reading culture. It's really, really good. And it's just a good way because not only can you read it quick, but you can read it again and again and again. And, you know, and it just seeks. How many know that you don't get everything out of it the first time? There's so many little things. I think, I want to hear that again. And we need to hear that. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So there's something about repeating something, about going over and over, that lets it, you know, sink in and take root. And so God has been speaking to me about many different habits, because in life we have so many habits. And because we're kind of often on autopilot and they're kind of subconscious, we just do them without even thinking about it. So we've got eating habits, yeah, and our diet. And God was speaking to me about that. You know, we need to eat right. Amen? There's something about, you know, eating pounded yam and banku like at 11 o'clock at night. Ooh, it's a bit late, isn't it? Yeah, you need to know, make some adjustments there. You know, we spoke about making the tiny adjustments in all different areas. So if you're eating that stuff at 11 p.m., it's kind of not going to be, you're not going to have time to digest it and burn it off. And so, you know, you need to make some adjustments there. You know, how many know about salt and sugar? You know, kind of, you know, particularly as you get older, you need to know, you need to eat less salt and less sugar. Yeah? Amen? Any witnesses in the house? Yeah. And more fruit and more veg. Yeah? They're just good, healthy habits. Even for younger people as well, more fruit and veg. Yeah? Less sweets and stuff that will, you know, stick in your teeth. You know, habits are just health and hygiene and stuff. Brush your teeth. They're basics, but they're little things that we do on autopilot, but we need to pay attention to. And so, you know, good oral hygiene, yeah, good dental hygiene. And so, you know, I can see Mr. Swala there. You know, I bet you visit the dentist regularly. He's, you know, his wife, you know, he's got the dentist at home. But, you know, the regular visits to the dentist, so those are basic things, little habits like that. What about your fitness habits? Yeah, and working out, you know. And I said recently, I know somebody who started to go to the gym now. And, you know, someone looked at him and said, wow, you know, that's some muscle that he's building there. But, you know, health, physical health habits are really important. Relationship habits as well. What's your communication like? Yeah? What's your communication like? You know, often it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. How you say what you say. You know, so often people have an issue with how something is said. It's not what was said, but how it's said can either cause offense or can get, you know, people's back up. So sometimes it's just really, really important that we communicate. So in all those areas, you know, God started to speak to me and he said this now. He said, excellence is not a destination. Everyone say, excellence is not a destination. And here's what he said. He said, excellence is a journey. I thought, wow. So this is off the message now. God is speaking to me. And, you know, Pastor Paul has, you know, made this statement, but God is still speaking to me some more as I'm digesting that. He said, excellence is a journey. So when we see it as a destination, you aim for the finish line and you think you've arrived there and then you stop working on it. But because excellence is a journey, what God was saying to me, that you continue to work on that journey. You continue to be on that journey of excellence. So on that journey of excellence, you can apply it to your eating habits. So you can become more excellent in what you eat. You can continue on that journey of good eating habits and become more excellent in there. More excellence in your personal hygiene, in basically you know, doing those little things that you know to do, but continuing as a journey. More excellence in your relationships and in your communications. And so excellence is not a destination. It's a journey that we're on, and we continue to be on that journey. And you know what? It's a lifetime journey. This side of heaven, the Bible says, is it in Genesis, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer shall not cease. Yeah, so it's a continuous thing because it's something of the earth. When we get into eternity, then we're in a different realm. But on this realm, we continue to be on that journey of excellence in all these different areas. So God said to me, pursue excellence. He said, pursue it. So like a man in a race, like a man in a marathon, he says, pursue it. So go after it. Don't stop. Don't see it as a destination that you arrive and stop and collapse in a heap, but pursue it. And so in the whole area of eating, of health, of exercise, of relationship, of ministry, of business, all these different areas, God wants us to pursue excellence in these areas. You know, remember that story I was telling about the British cyclists and about how, you know, for about 100 years, they hadn't, well, they'd only won one medal in 100 years. They were basically mediocre. And then all of a sudden, they had this new coach. And this new coach then had a strategy. And he began to tweak lots of different little things and make small, just 1% adjustments, 1% improvements, but across lots of different things. And as they made those, there was an aggregation, a cumulative effect of all the different tiny things that he improved on that delivered the results, that made them get gold. But even more than that, as they continued, you know, they continued to win. And this is why I thought, wow, this is incredible. You know, if somebody wins the race once, you can say, okay, well, everybody got to win it sometime or the other. But they won consistently over a 10-year period, the game. They literally dominated the sports for 10 straight years. And it's on record that that is probably considered the biggest achievement in cycling history. But why was that? He made those tiny adjustments in lots of different areas over that time. But it was because they continued to improve. See, when they won it the first time, he didn't say, okay, we've won it now. Let's all go home. Let's stop. But he kept making those improvements year after year after year. And they continued to win and to win and to win because of that strategy. And so what it was, and here's my point now, it wasn't just a goal that they reached, but he had a system. Everyone say system. See, he had a system in place. The system comprised of lots of different things. It was tweaking. So what they did to the seats, what they did to their cycling gear, what they did to the tires on the bike, making sure they slept properly, had the right mattresses, had the right pillows. It was all part of his system that he improved. Who's heard about CSI? Yeah. I don't mean crime scene investigation. There you go. So a lot of you thought about the movie. They, I watched that. Yeah, I watched that last night. That was a really, really, really good program. No, not that one. Not that CSI. Another one. Anyone hazard a guess? Okay, so I work in the IT industry, okay? We've got something that we call CSI, and it stands for this. Continuous. Will someone start to say that? Excellent. Continuous service improvement. Continuous service improvement. See, I work in the IT delivery service where IT is being delivered as a service to business, okay? And so CSI stands for continuous service improvement, okay? And the way that it works basically is that, I wrote down a little definition of it. Here it says it's a stage, okay, in the life cycle of service, and it ensures that that you align services, okay, with with changing business needs. Okay, by identifying, these are the key words, by identifying and implementing improvements to IT services that support the business process. So by identifying and implementing improvements, identifying and implementing improvements, okay, that support the business. And so this is, so if you imagine it, so when we speak about life cycle, it means it goes all the way around and it starts again, and then it goes round again. So that's why it's called a cycle. It goes round and round and round. Jehovah turns my life around. But it's going round in a positive way. And each time, it's getting that tiny bit better. You get the idea. It's getting that tiny bit better each time it goes round. Because in that, somewhere in that loop is what I call feedback. And you know, in that feedback loop, you know what, which bits need a little bit of improvement, which bits could be better than they were the first time round. And so the next time round, you take that on board and you do it again, but with that little bit of adjustment, with that little bit of improvement. And so that's continuous service improvement. And you know, when I saw that, you know, I said, yeah, you know, that is so God as well. You know, often God uses natural things to communicate with us spiritual things. And so I've called it my continuous supernatural improvement. Amen? Amen. Who's watching it? It's supernatural. Sid Ross, yeah? This is supernatural. You know, this is God. Because when we, I think the Apostle Paul said that they did, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. If we can have that on the board. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Actually, let's look at verses 24 and 25. New King James, please, if you've got it. The New Kojo V version. Yes. All the Ghanaians said, amen. Amen. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 9, 24, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race, okay, all run, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it, okay, for an imperishable crown. And so the world does this, the world does CSI for a perishable crown. But we're doing it, Paul says, for an imperishable crown. You know, Paul was speaking about, Pastor Paul was speaking about heaven's culture. You know, the world's doing it for a perishable crown, but we're doing it for an imperishable crown. Amen? Amen? So, you know, Joshua, God spoke to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. You know, and Joshua was on this journey. Joshua had his own CSI. Because I was speaking to him, I said, Lord, where do I see this in Scripture? And he took me to the book of Joshua in chapter 1. Joshua, the first chapter. We're going to have verses 1 and 2. So here's the start of the cycle. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am I'm taking them, the children of Israel. And so if we skip down, and we look at around verses 8, we start to see the cycle now, what God has told Joshua to do. Now, this is what I call the journey. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so these are the little things. So God told him to do some specific things in this journey. He said, number one, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your heart, but you shall meditate day and night. Everyone say meditate. Meditate. Everyone say day and night. And then he says, observe to do, okay, according to all that is written in it. Okay, and that way you're going to make your way prosperous, and that way you're going to have good success. And so these are like specific actions and steps in that cycle that Joshua was told to do, to bring the children of Israel from the destination of where they were into the promised land. And so this was, if you like, this is Joshua's CSI. This is Joshua's continuous service improvement or supernatural improvements. Amen? But you know, God wants each one of us to be on that journey. Yeah, I said God wants each one of us to be on that journey. But the key to it is that we need to stay on the journey. See, it's not a destination, okay? It's a journey. In Healed for Life, often speaking about health, spiritual health, healed for life, we say stay on the journey, yeah? Nana, you'll bear witness to me with that, yeah? It's something that we say, stay on the journey. And I believe God is saying to us in 2019 that we need to stay on the journey in different areas of our lives. And so whether it's to do with your physical health and exercise, God is saying to you, stay on the journey. So don't see it as a destination that you arrive at and rest on your laurels and stop. But you need to stay on that. You need to be continuously, supernaturally improving. So whether it's in the area of academia and learning, you need to stay on the journey. What is it to do with your parenting skills? You need to
stay on the journey.
Okay. Whether it's to do with raising your children, you need to stay on the journey. So in every area of our lives, you get the point. You need to stay on that journey because God wants you at the end of your journey, which is when you go home to be with Him. He wants to welcome you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Good and faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we stand to our feet? We need to stay on that journey. Amen. And that really is, in a nutshell, is what God, I believe, is saying to us in 2019. That wherever we are in the process, you need to stay on that journey. Amen. On the journey of divine health. Amen. On the journey of spiritual growth. Yeah. On the journey with your family and parenting. Lord, in a minute, in the journey of your work and your business, God wants you to stay there to continue to make those improvements and then to improve the improvements. Amen? So you just have to stay on that journey. And you know why it's different for us? Because it's supernatural. God will give you the strength. God will give you the grace. God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the favor. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, then he needs to ask of God. He gives liberally to all people, okay, and who doesn't hold back. And so God has more than enough stuff in store for us. I believe that in 2019, God has so much for us, but we need to stay on that journey with Him. Amen. The Bible says, trust in Him with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I believe that God is doing that already in our life. But as long as we stick with Him, as long as we stay on that journey, we'll look back at the end of 2019 and say, wow. It might not seem like much, but it might even seem boring at times. But if you stick with God, He'll stick with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the opportunity that we have this side of heaven. Father, we thank You for Your spirit, Lord, about that continuous supernatural improvement, Heavenly Father. Lord, we commit, Lord, as Your sons and as Your daughters, Father, as Your church, as the people of God, Father, to stay on that journey, Father. Lord, on that journey of transformation, Father, as we go from glory, Lord, to glory. As we go, Lord, from faith to faith. As we go, Lord, from strength to strength, Lord, that you might be glorified in our lives. Father, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.